It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than an online petition. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Pip. Joe is out this week.
Yes.
Yes. On the show, bitches be crazy. Pip's got her curmudgeonly philosophy. School of Fools involving a shotgun and more national anthem issues. Oh, look, it just doesn't go away, does it?
No, it's actually growing.
I saw there was a Brooklyn Nets game, and this woman who sang the national anthem did it while kneeling. I thought that was interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm trying to find my Turbulent Air.
Your bumper music?
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? The turbulent beginnings of the segment.
Here it is. Okie dokie. Yeah, right.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
So there's a new feature. What?
No, it's just, it's funny.
Okay, so there's a new feature on flights that let you message people just by knowing their seat. It appears on the screen, like on the headrest in front of you.
Oh, okay.
So, like, if somebody's in like row 18, seat C, and you know that,
right?
You could just, hey, I'm in 19D. What are you doing? You can just like
start talking to them.
Yeah.
Across the plane.
Yeah.
My first instinct is, oh, great, another way for guys to creep on you while you're just trying to enjoy the flight.
Well, it's better than rubbing up against you. Oh, I can't get through the aisle. Drink cart, sorry, man.
I know.
Smell my butt. Look at my junk.
There's nothing but butts and wieners in your face on the aisle.
That's the problem with the aisle seat. Still better than the window seat, but you're going to be rubbed up against.
Well, the window seat, you know, you're going to be over there in the corner trapped, so if you have a creep in the middle, bad.
I don't like to be trapped.
On the edge, then every creep in the plane can get near
you.
That's
fine. I need to be on the edge so I can escape.
I do, too. I need to escape.
Yeah.
But that's my first instinct is, I don't know if you want to have, I mean, how the heck do you turn it off?
I was just on a flight with this feature. First
you
time.
You were? Did you talk to anybody?
The wife starts, texting me. I'm like, right, you're right next to me. What about for what?
Just to play with the app.
I guess. Hi.
Yeah.
What are you doing? You're right next to me, stupid.
You can see everything I'm doing.
Exactly. I'm cramped, I'm tired, I'm cranky. Now I have to type. I'm not pleased.
I'm touching myself inappropriately. What are you doing?
Touching the guy next to you inappropriately. Knock that off.
Hey,
I can see you, frowny face.
He seems to be a smiley face. Ah, hey.
I want to change my seat. Hey, 18D, what are you doing? I don't know. I don't need this.
No. Well, I mean, you know.
I don't need this feature. Unless, the only way I could see it, sometimes, families are broken up on flights.
Yes.
So you can talk to your family that way.
That would be more convenient than screaming across the poor sleeping bastard next to you.
Yeah.
But other than that, this, you know, as like a dating app kind of.
You think people use it to date?
Well, that's what the article suggests, that you would use that to
But the author might be a creep, too.
I'm thinking the author's a creep because it's like that's not the only. No, if you talk to the person in the gate, say, and now you're sitting far across and you wanted to finish your conversation, you can hit them up if they're like, I'm going to read, I'll, you know, have a nice flight. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can stop. But if it doesn't allow you to stop them from bothering you, this could be really tiresome.
Well, I mean, it just shows up on your screen. You don't have to do anything.
Right. But this
doesn't, make a noise.
No, well, I mean, can they send pictures of their junk to you from across the plane?
I don't think there's a camera app, no.
I
mean, that's what the bathrooms are for, a little class.
No, I mean.
No, I don't think there's there's no attachments or anything like that.
I don't know if this is just where my head's at or this is from the world or current events, Weinstein. Just, my mind immediately goes to another way for guys to creep on women.
I guess.
when you
put it that way, it sounds kind of good. I mean,
well, now I know where your head's at.
Sure. Well, where at least my head's trying to go. But I digress. Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like kind of senseless stuff. But I guess,
yeah.
I guess I could see a point to it. But not needing to talk to somebody right next to me.
No, silly.
Stop it.
Bad wife. No. Stop.
Amuse yourself.
Read the People magazine and leave me alone.
I'm resting and trying to ignore life over here. Leave me be.
Watch a movie.
Exactly. I'm watching my hair get gray. Leave me be.
Yeah. And you're making it grayer.
Exactly. A British flight attendant had some startling revelations. She says two flight attendants made money by having sex with first class and business class passengers. I need to upgrade.
Yes, you do.
One caught handing out business cards on the flight.
That's incredible.
Yeah, the gojones.
I don't know if she does have those.
The juggalos.
There you go. The juggalos. She has crazy clowns.
Worth the extra money.
Crazy balloons.
The passenger would meet the flight attendant at her hotel room. She said he regularly heard crew performing sex acts on each other on the flight.
Whoa.
Now, I think I've told the story before. One time when I was landing, I definitely heard like an orgasmic noise come out of the cockpit from a man.
Really?
Like,
he landed and...
Yeah, like it's like...
He landed?
And like either like this was really touch and go, or somebody was touching and about to go.
And then he went.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about this. I mean, I am addicted to that TV show Below Deck, and it's about people who are on yachts. It's the crew, and they really go into like I know it's reality TV, but they're all hitting on each other and things are happening, and they're not supposed to fraternize with the people that come on board, but they try to, and it's just lots of sexual shenanigans going on. And I'm thinking,
I need a yacht.
Or a cockpit.
Yes.
Just because of what it's called.
I am missing out by hanging on here.
Yeah,
you.
I know. A den. Den doesn't sound really
Nobody's
sexy.
Nobody's coming to the den trying to lure me into some lurid activities.
Yeah, sorry, no.
No.
Joe does.
Yeah.
Joe is trying.
But he's not grouchy.
Yeah, he's trying to come on to you.
That's his grouch game.
Oh, is that?
That's his grouch game. So the cabin crew worker revealed on a 747, the pilots have bunk beds at the back of the cockpit. And the captain was seeing a stewardess, and they were two pilots taking over for the captain to have a break.
Oh, boy.
She said they let him and the girl go into the bedroom mid-flight. It was all safe, but I believe the bedroom was rocking, and it was still turbulent.
The bedroom was rocking. I don't know if I like the idea of the crew frolicking in mid-flight, and I'm glad there are people to take over, but, yeah, no, shouldn't you be keeping this for after-hour things? You're still on the clock.
Well, I mean, some of these flights are very long.
I'm sure that they are, and I guess they do take breaks. And if you want to take breaks together,
I agree. You know what? You know, there's a time and a place for everything.
Yeah, it's like I don't know if you want to take snuggle breaks on the clock. Well, if I'm a painter in a house, yeah, you have to watch paint dry. You don't go over and have sex in the house owner's bed. You know what I mean? You're there to do a job, not that job.
Well, I mean, you know, you're killing time.
Yeah.
Splash your paint.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't know if I feel comfortable. Somebody who's...
Is that eggshell white? Close.
Splash your paint. I wasn't... Oh, God, I wasn't thinking of that. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. That seems to be like a different sheen.
No, splash your paint. That works.
That works. Yes. Yes. I don't know if I like the idea of doing it on the job.
I love the idea of doing it on the job, just not an air crew doing it on their job.
Well, I know. I mean, something dangerous, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. And she said the rudest people are the people in business class because they haven't quite made it to first class. I guess in coach where I fly, it's like, well, we're already beaten and defeated.
We're used to being abused. But business class, I guess there's a lot of wannabes.
What? I don't even know the difference between business and first class.
Well, I think that business class is just like one step down. I don't know what amenities they get that they don't get
first.
They
don't get the slippers. I don't know.
I don't know. They don't get a hot towel. I don't know. I've never been up there. I have no idea.
I got to tell you, I am seeing less and less attractive flight attendants.
Yes, because they're being less sexist about their hiring.
Stop. Stop it.
You're ruining it.
You're ruining everything.
Well,
be more sexist.
You know, they're not, it's not supposed to be like the bathing suit competition in the plane.
You know what? Apparently it can be. Because apparently there's a lot of things where that type of competition would be worthwhile.
Well, no.
I can get my own Coke. Look hot.
Actually, get the fugliest people you can up there, because then there wouldn't be so many breaks where they're not watching the plane flying part.
Yeah, but then, you know, the hot ones are offering services.
That's incredible to me. She's, like, running an escort service out of first
drink,
class.
A drink, sandwich, old-fashioned. What would you like, sir?
You mean that drink called an old-fashioned? No.
But I'll be back in two shakes. Just hold on.
Only two? Boy, he was ready to go.
Excited to be here. First time on a plane.
First class. Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I would look forward to flying.
Wouldn't you?
I would.
Yeah, nobody would have to fluff your pillow.
Find that the gay guys are now the most attractive people on these air flights.
Absolutely.
Because these waitresses...
Oh, I didn't mean that.
I didn't mean that.
Yes,
I kinda
you
did. But yeah,
you did.
But that's I really was. But these flight attendants, now I'm going to say something offensive. They're allowing them to age out.
Yeah.
Stop it. I mean, not age out. Like they're just getting older and older.
They're experienced.
But no, I don't want experience. The
you do if the plane's going down.
No, the rows are narrow. They're going to break a hip trying to get off there.
No. They know what they're doing.
Now,
they know how
Zoftic, to... The Zoftic women. No. The uniforms are not revealing anymore.
They shouldn't be.
They should be.
They're just going to rip to bits if they're going down that little slide into the ocean. I mean...
By then, I don't care.
No, you're just trying to, like, live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's really disappointing. It's not what I was told flying would be.
Yeah, well, in the old days, people used to dress up.
Yes.
To fly.
Yes, you animals. You look like beasts.
I'm old enough that we still did this, but now people go like they look like they're going to bed.
They go in their yoga pants.
And they pajamas.
Yeah.
I've seen people on planes in pajamas and flip flops. I'm like, oh my god.
I still think there's a little bit of a prestige with sleeping with a flight attendant.
I'm. You know what? There is sort of, it's one of those Playboy, penthouse forum kind of moments where people still go, yeah, that's a sexy thing.
Yeah, but it's,
like
in reality,
people are
it's
hot
not.
For teachers and nurses, and it's all that fantasy world.
I guess,
but the reality is not always what it used
all
cracked
right,
up to be.
What's better, snagging a flight attendant or snagging a comic?
Have you seen the people that we work with? Flight attendant.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Because that used to be a thing before I got into comedy, I was told.
Really?
Yeah, like in the 80s, there were like all these comedy groupies.
I don't remember that.
Well, you were not a comic in the 80s, so why would you?
No, but I don't remember even hearing that.
Yeah, that was a thing. I missed out on all that.
Well, yeah, but it was more like not the looks, it was the prestige. I thought we were talking about basically looks.
No, prestige.
Prestige. Oh, see, comedy has lost some of its oomph. It's not.
But
in the,
flying hasn't.
It's not in the heyday. Oh, see now. I think
all right.
Flight has.
Let's see. Feature at a bar one night or on a Wednesday, or a Southwest flight attendant.
Flight attendant.
Really?
Yeah. Bar on a Wednesday.
Frontier Airline flight attendant.
Yeah.
Headliner at upscale restaurant dinner show.
See, now it depends on the show. How'd it go?
Show's good. Good show.
Good show?
Better than the flight.
Yeah, it's probably... Okay, turbulent flight versus
Frontier
good
Airlines.
Show. I mean, if they were really funny, I think funny is sexy, so that might tip it the balance.
Delta flight attendant overseas.
Okay.
Headliner headlining a 3,000 seat theater.
Headliner.
There you go. We still got a show. We're in the game.
You can still get
line
in there.
Line it up, ladies. Line it up.
You can still get in there.
What does that mean? 30 seconds?
Yes, that's what that means. I held up my little nub at Davin, and he still doesn't know after we've gone over this a bunch of times. That means 30 seconds.
All right. Well, then there's no time to do this.
No.
Next.
No, we babbled too much. Sorry.
All right. So, we'll be back.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
Let's do some bitches be crazy. I'm singing it.
I know.
As I try to find the...
I know. I was just thinking, let's do some bitches
sure.
be crazy.
Sure. Here you go. Yeah.
Bitches be crazy.
Yeah.
Bitches be crazy.
Be crazy.
All right. Tonight we're going to talk about that green-eyed monster, jealousy.
Mm.
Yum. There was a woman in England who makes her husband take a lie detector test to prove he's been faithful every time he leaves the house.
Every time?
Every time he leaves the house for more than 15 minutes, she makes him take a lie detector test because she's been diagnosed with a rare condition that causes delusional jealousy.
You know what I would diagnose her with? Loneliness. She can live alone. She has to be so good at certain bedroom activities to put up with that. Because your average dame, I don't got time. I don't got time to get myself all wired up so you can feel better about things. I don't love you that much.
It's insane.
Well, clearly.
I mean, clearly.
And once you're diagnosed, insanity's somewhere on the path.
Well, her name's Debbie Wood.
Are you sure it's not Debbie Downer?
Yeah. No, I think you're cheating.
She's Eeyore.
Yes. She's 42 years old. She lives in Leicester, England.
What's she look like?
She's a beast.
Is she?
Yes.
He should cheat.
I know. He's no prize. But
all right, who's worse?
She is.
Can you show me a picture?
I don't have that available right. for you to see.
She's really huge.
Yeah.
She's got some warts?
You know what? I think she could be okay in the face if it was...
If you shot her in it. Splash a little paint.
If she was smaller.
Well, we'd all be better if we were smaller. I'd be like a 10 if I was smaller. Instead, I'm the 3 I am.
I would be a solid 6 if I could only lose some weight.
Oh, yes, you would.
Right?
At least.
Solid 6.
Solid.
Okay,
no wavering.
Thank you. That's pretty good for comedy. Solid 6.
6 in comedy is like a 15 for the rest of the world.
Yes.
Exactly.
Right.
Listen, Amy Schumer is even considered hot for comedy, but yuck.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right. In the real world.
Yeah.
Not so great.
Exactly.
No, this... and it's not just because she's heavy. She just kind of has that sort of like snarly face.
Kind of looks like she got hit with a 2x4?
Yeah, and it made her like really angry.
And what's he like, really small?
He's skinny and he has like stringy hair.
Unwashed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's not exactly God's gift. The women are...
Well, could be. Just could be a really crappy gift.
It's like...
He's the equivalent of a tie.
Yes. And it's a tie with, like, Winnie the Pooh on it.
God's
what are you
going to
do with this?
God gave her a tie.
Yeah. This, the little guy, her partner, Steve Wood, is 30.
Almost he's like a Winwood.
She's got 12. Yeah, no, this is not that Wood. She's afraid that he's going to stray. So she also checks his phone, his email accounts, and bank statements several times a day. Can you imagine spending this much time trying to keep somebody else in check and them putting up with it?
Well, I guess he realized he has no options.
Well, I don't know if he has options or not.
He must think he has no options.
I guess he
There's
must
There's
got
to be somebody
that.
Beastlier. There's always somebody uglier.
There's
That's been my whole dating yeah. process. That's how I figure somebody, a woman, will take me into their bosom, because there has to be somebody worse than me. That's my whole strategy.
There is a lid for every misshapen, beaten, run-over pot.
Right.
There is. You know, the syndrome that she suffers from is called Othello syndrome, which... Those people have not boned up on their Shakespeare. Othello was a character who was just ridden with jealousy. He was always sure that his woman was cheating on him.
Also a fun board game where you flip over a black little disc to white disc and white disc to black.
Really?
Yes.
That's racist.
Only if you switch them from black to white. If you go white to black, you know, you're just being cool.
Then you never go back.
No.
Yeah, there you go. So it causes sufferers to believe their partners have been unfaithful, even without evidence.
Is this common?
I don't think that it's very common. I think that the generic version of just plain old crazy jealousy is what's...
And he puts up with this.
He does put up with it, and I have no idea why.
I would not. Would you?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't
if
put
Mr.
up with
Helix
this.
If Mr. Helix devolved into this.
No, it would be an absolutely not.
How long until you go, you know what, peace out, bro?
Not very long. It would be like, you're going to therapy or we're out.
I would take like a test because it was cute. Yeah. Actually, no, I wouldn't. Screw you.
Yeah, no. Oh, like, done.
Yeah.
Done pretty soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people put up with it.
It goes
no
back to what
why.
I always say, words to live by. If you're ugly, you got to be better. And she's not doing a good job.
No.
This is Davin's Den.
We're back. We'll do some School of Fools as I look for that pumpkin. I'm looking for a lot of things tonight, aren't you?
Yeah, you're having issues with finding the music.
No, I'm not having. There it is. It's just, I got to do it all. It's hard to. It's hard to do two things at once. Here
yes.
we go.
Ring around the rosy, pumpkin full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
Now I'll just, this is an interesting story, I think. That's why I brought it to your attention, obviously. So I'll just cue this up and then
Let's
we can
talk about boring crap. How about that?
Sure. Why not? Here we go.
Not allowed in the yearbook. And he's upset.
Why should I be forced to just agree to this and let it be?
The picture he submitted shows him holding one of his hunting guns, an activity he's done for 8 years.
Just my sport. Just what I do. I don't play football. I don't play basketball. I don't do nothing. I just hunt.
This is one I use in studio.
Photographer Kelly Roy says the guns did not bother her.
It's their interest, not mine.
But told Wade she had a feeling the photo wouldn't fly.
That I figured there would be no way they'd let him put it in the yearbook.
They didn't. And Bonnie Eagle's principal says the student code of conduct explains why.
Drugs, alcohol, weapons, tobacco are not allowed at school. So, and you can't wear clothing that like has pictures of weapons on it.
She says students have tried to use photos in the past that have them holding weapons, and the school has always said no.
We just want to draw the line at weapons of any kind being in the picture, and that way it doesn't get into a place where we're trying to pass judgment on which ones are promoting violence and which ones aren't.
There's nothing wrong with that, but it has nothing to do with what I like.
Wade plans to submit a different photo, but hopes his stand sparks change in the policy.
Everybody can take a picture with their football and take a picture with their lacrosse stick. And I'm a hunter, and I can't take one of my hunting guns.
I think the school is actually playing it the safe way by just having a policy where no weapons, no guns, no knives. I guess that would go with a bow and arrow, too.
I would imagine.
That way you don't have to decide, well, this is culturally relevant, because then you, I guess you could have an African-American kid, this is going to sound terrible, but he's like holding a gun. Well, I rap, and this is part of our rap culture. And I guess you could go down a whole path if you allowed one and not the other.
Yeah, any representations of weapons, and you don't want to have to be parsing each picture and coming up with, well, this one because, then you're getting into its objective. It's smart, in my mind, to just have the policy. No,
I think in today's era, age, whatever we want to call it, where people want to argue about everything, and just go black and white on this.
Yeah,
just like, listen, man, sorry, little Jimmy wanted to have a gun 3 years ago. We didn't let him have a gun. I get it. You want to do it? Why don't maybe he can? He's a hunter. Maybe he can hold a deer head.
Yeah, or,
I guess.
Yeah, he could.
Or like maybe some venison steaks, or what. Why couldn't you have that?
Have something else to represent the thing that you like?
Right.
The policy. Are you trying to make a point here? The policy is no weapons.
The kid didn't strike me as trying to make a point, per se.
No, he doesn't. He's just saying, I like hunting. But you come up with something else to represent it, then.
Yeah, I think there's other things.
You're wearing your hunting gear, perhaps?
Now, if he showed, a bloody animal, it probably wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, no.
But, why couldn't he have, meat?
Yeah. That's fine. You know, something that's not against the policy. And look, we've had too much violence in schools.
Well, I get the feeling that this policy, well, yeah, this policy's probably been around for a while.
Yeah, they don't want to glorify, with all these school shootings, they don't want to glorify the images of guns in schools, you know, and I get that.
Now, there is the argument that this is part of his culture. I mean, we know in parts of the country, hunting is a big part of the culture.
Right, but is there nothing else that this boy does?
It would seem nothing? Not. It would seem not.
It's, you know, it's like on my way to school, I bagged a couple of squirrels. I mean, there's nothing else
I
you
mean,
do?
I mean, compared it to, like, you know, football. Yeah, but you know what? We didn't have a couple kids walk into a cafeteria and throw football at other kids' heads and kill them.
Right. Well, the whole thing with the lacrosse things. Have there been mass lacrosse stick murderings?
It's a touchy subject, but I wonder if some of these schools have hunting clubs.
You know, I remember...
I'm sure they do have, like, shooting clubs.
Yeah, some of them have rifle clubs where they have shooting, you know, archery, whatever.
I'm guessing this school does not.
I'm guessing they don't, or at least they don't. If they have a lineup of the kids that are involved of it, they're not lined up holding their weapons.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that way you could just deal with the issue. It's probably the best thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the culture. I get that. But you have this law, and there's a reason for it. So I don't think it's being that unreasonable on the school. I mean, you know, you don't want to get into a situation where you have, you know, that much of a problem.
Would you be bothered if you saw a picture of a gun in a yearbook?
Not seeing the gun in the yearbook, but I don't think it's a great idea nowadays.
Like, I wouldn't be bothered. I don't think, like, seeing it in the context of this kid.
I wouldn't be either, but I think
a hard
it's a good policy.
Rule. Yeah, I think a hard fast rule is the way to go. All right, when we come back, Pips curmudgeonly.
It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
All right, let's try to find your curmudgeonly philosophy.
My leitmotif.
Where the heck is it? I know he spelled it wrong.
Crumbummery.
No, he's... hold on, I gotta find this.
Crumbudgery philosophy.
There it is. Okay. Oh, no, I corrected the spelling.
Oh, even worse. Now you can't find it because it's correct.
Yeah, I corrected the spelling.
You wondered about it, you waited for it, and now it's here. Curmudgeon Philosophy with Pip Helix.
Lay it on us, lady.
All right, here it is, and timely. If you got Halloween candy as a kid, you have to give it out as an adult.
You think people don't?
I know they don't.
You know, so they're takers.
They're takers and not givers. Look, don't do it to avoid a trick. Getting your house TP'd, that could happen anytime. Do it because it's the right thing to do. What do you mean, eh?
I mean, if you were a trick-or-treater, yeah.
Yeah.
I never really partook.
What do you mean you didn't? You didn't trick-or-treat?
I did not trick-or-treat.
What are you, some kind of heathen?
No, Hebrew.
Are you some kind of Hebrew?
Yes.
What they... Look. You know, all this, it's against your religion stuff.
That wasn't my rule.
It's not conjuring the devil.
Yeah, it kind of is.
No, it's not. I mean...
Devil's a Snickers bar.
Look, if wearing a Spider-Man outfit is conjuring the devil, there'd have to be a free exorcism with every ticket to Comic-Con.
Don't crap on other people's religion just because you like to get free sweets.
No, I am crapping on other people's religions because this is a great thing for kids. It's fun. They get free candy.
I gotta tell you, we're doing a show next Halloween.
Yeah.
Some of us will be here. Some won't. The dedicated ones will be.
I'm going to be home handing out candy to kids that come to my house.
Seriously, that's why you're not showing up?
Yes. And then after we're done handing out candy until it gets to be, it's darker and there are going to be less kids, then we're going out to dinner to celebrate our anniversary.
You could have done that. You could have done the show. I'll have you run upstairs and hand Katie here. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not running up and down the stairs every time the doorbell rings.
No, no. I'm handing out candy at home because I dress up and I hang
dress
around.
Up here. Do a show. Be a team player.
I hang out in my front yard and I scare the crap out of children and then I give them candy.
You do that all the time.
Yeah. Just walking through the supermarket scares the crap out of people. But
listen, enough with the free crap. Enough.
No. Make their GD childhood magical.
Can't everybody just go to the supermarket and buy their own kids candy and we call it a day?
No, it's one day. One day out of the year.
That's how you treat it. That's how you teach beggars. It starts with candy, starts with free candy. Next thing you know, they're on welfare. That's how it starts.
What do you think that they're doing? They're taking their Snickers and they're going and they're trading it for booze? What do you mean?
No. They're taking their Snickers and going, oh, well, here's free stuff. People are giving me free stuff. Next thing you know, they expect the government to give them free stuff. That's how it all starts.
So here we go back. This is a gateway begging?
This is gateway begging. Yes. Yes.
It's not. And my original point, though.
There was one of those?
Yeah, there is one of those. Especially if you put out Halloween decorations, you have no right not to give out candy.
If you put out Halloween decorations.
You're ringing the dinner bell.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Like
everybody knows, if the lights are off and there's no decorations, it's a Jehovah's Witness, go to the next door.
Exactly.
It's a Jew. Or
these are people that want nothing to do
with
you.
Or they're old and they don't want children. Or there's a restraining order. There's all sorts of things.
That's where the kid touched your list. Okay, we'll just be skipping
right,
past.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that every kid understands. Get away from that place. But you know what? These people should be decorating. They should be giving out candy. This is a magical rite for children. It's a day where you're allowed to get free candy.
You're a hobo. Have you been in the city? It's the same thing. They're dressed up as filthy animals. They're sitting there with this sign. Give, give. It's the same thing.
They dress up as
At least the hobo says, God bless you.
And the kid says, trick or treat.
Yeah, what the hell is trick or treat?
And they say, thank you. That means
no, not all kids.
That gives me candy or I'm going to TP your house. Listen, just like the bums are like, give me some money or I'm going to barf on your ankle.
I'll agree. If you were a taker,
yes,
then you should be a giver.
Absolutely. You shouldn't get away with just going and turn off the lights and hiding when the doorbell rings. That's just crappy.
This whole holiday's fucked.
No, it's not. It's really good. And the whole, you know, everybody's, oh, we're scared. It's demonic. You're going to tell the kid in an Oreo costume that he can't have a Snickers because Jesus doesn't want him to? Now you've created a little atheist.
A kid in an Oreo costume?
Or whatever.
Who's dressing up their kids as tasty treats?
They might. I mean, he could be like a cupcake. He could be, I forget the names of those little creatures. Whatever.
He could be a Cheeto.
Yeah, this day it's a popular costume.
All right, we'll be back.
This is Davin's Den.
It's Davin's Den.
The national anthem, the thing that used to not be controversial, but now is all the rage.
Yes.
So we got some more. So the morning. This morning, Waylon Bates, principal of Parkway High School in Bossier Parish, Louisiana, sent a letter to the students and parents of a school warning that any athletes who did not stand in a respectful manner during the pregame national anthem would be subject to disciplinary action. He made it clear that he had the authority to kick players off the team if need be, which is his prescribed punishment for athletes who repeatedly fail to comply. Here's what Bates wrote. The LHSAA, Louisiana High School Athletic Association, allows school principals to make decisions regarding student participation in the national anthem while competing in athletic contests and games. Parkway High School requires student athletes to stand in a respectful manner throughout the national anthem during any sporting event in which their team is participating. Failure to comply will result in a loss of playing time and or participation as directed by the head coach and principal. Continued failure to comply will result in the removal from the team. Parkway High School is committed to creating a positive environment for sporting events that is free of disruption to the athletic contest or games. Hey, quiet down there while we're trying to give each other concussions.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Is the crushing of our skulls together interrupting your fun?
A little disruptive.
Yeah.
The Louisiana ACLU condemned his actions and noted that the Supreme Court disagrees with Bates. Nearly 75 years ago, the Supreme Court held that state schools have no business forcing students to stand for patriotic rituals. The court also reminded public school administrators that part of their job is to train students for participation in our free society. This principle holds no less true today and no less true on the playing field than it does in the classroom. Schools have no valid interest in turning, and this is just part of the, indeed, schools should respect students. All right, this is just part of the editorial.
Right.
But basically, can't do it. Can't do it. Just can't stop them.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm really glad that they said that and that the Supreme Court has ruled that. It seems that the school, I mean, schools have always, we're going back to, what was that, that movie with Kevin Bacon where they weren't allowed to dance in their school? What
Footloose?
The heck was that? Footloose, okay. You know? I mean, well, that was a town because of the preacher. But, I mean, it seems like schools have always been involved in squashing the enthusiasms or the rights of students.
Sure.
You know, and here's another example of overreaching.
Yeah, I would not have known about that ruling. I did not know about that ruling. I go, huh. That's interesting. I guess the principal has the authority to do that, but clearly not.
Right. I mean, I wouldn't have known that either.
And, you know, here's the thing, man. You're supposed to be running the school. You need to know this stuff. Now you just look stupid.
Yeah.
Now you look uneducated.
Yeah. If you're on a board of education or if you're any part of the administration of a school, you should know what the laws are regarding the administration.
Yeah, whether
of the
you
same.
Agree with it or don't agree with it, the court, highest court in the land has ruled.
Right.
So now you just look stupid.
Yeah, you do.
So he should probably retract his letter.
I'm thinking, yes, yeah. You have to back off of
this. See, it's not. This isn't even whether, well, you know, he's right or not right. It's like, no, no, the Supreme Court has ruled on this. You must comply.
Right. I mean, now, we were earlier talking about the ruling from the one school saying that they have a no-tolerance policy for any photos in the yearbook of weapons. Now, this is another. They have every right to rule against that. In this case, they
unless somebody puts it against. Takes to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Freedom
I mean,
of expression.
And they could.
They could. And then the Supreme Court might rule that, you know what? They have a right if they're not brandishing it in a dangerous manner.
Or whatever they decided.
Right.
They could do that. But the thing is, one of the things that they're saying their reasoning was behind this is that it'd be distracting to the elements of the game. You mean people running at each other and crushing each other to the ground? So people peacefully taking a knee or kneeling, that is going to be distracting from this conquest of giants? Really? Really?
Really?
Really?
Really? Washington Fundraising Committee backing President Trump has launched a petition calling for supporters to be counted among those who believe in standing for the national anthem. The message is paid for by a joint fundraising group between Trump's campaign and the Republican National Committee and is posted on the Republican Party's official website. The petition asks for a full name, email address, zip code as a sign of patriotism and support for the national anthem. The Trump campaign team earlier this month offered supporters an I Stand for the Flag sticker in exchange for contributions of at least $5 to the committee, and Trump himself has frequently on the subject. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said earlier in the week at an owners' meeting in New York that players are not attempting to disrespect the flag in kneeling during the anthem, although he urged them to stand. However, the league said it will not mandate that players stand for the national anthem. See, to me, this just tells you exactly what this is.
Mm-hmm.
This was never about the... I know for some people it's about the national anthem.
Right.
But not for Trump.
No.
Not for the RNC. This was a distraction. Now mm-hmm. we see it was a fundraising tool. That's what this is. That's why I tell people, keep your eye on the prize.
Yes.
Why now? Because this wasn't even an issue. There was like 8 players who were kneeling the week before Trump said anything.
Yeah.
And now we see it's an official fundraiser thing. And while people were arguing about NFL plays in the national anthem, nobody was talking about our 4 dead soldiers in Niger. I don't know if I'm saying that.
Now they're saying Niger. I don't know.
Maybe they don't want to piss off black people. I don't know. I don't know. But that's what I'm saying. This is clearly a fundraising attempt. So while some people might have justifiable reasons for believing that people should stand for the national anthem, that's not what this is.
And it's not disrespecting the country.
Well, that's a different argument.
Yeah, no, I agree with what you're saying. Is like now it's become a fundraising issue instead of something about principle.
And that's what this is. This mm-hmm. this is a culture war thing because
yeah.
they're not getting things done.
Right.
They're not doing the promises mm-hmm. that they said they were going to do for whatever reason. You could blame Trump. You could blame the Democrats. You could blame the Republicans. Whatever you want to do, they're not accomplishing anything.
It's all John McCain.
Whatever it is. So now it's all these wedge issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Senator Flake just came out and talked about this. Go, this is not the first time we've seen these culture wars when things are not getting done. That's what this
That's
is.
That's a good point.
And they're using it for fundraising. That's why I tell people, keep your eye on the prize. Why now? It would have made more sense last September or August when this started.
Why now? Why now? And it's kind of silly to make people, I'm going to spend money to say that I like the flag. You know what? Why don't you all belly up and spend money saying I like breathing? It's just dumb. It's just dumb. You're going to pay somebody for the right to say something that most people agree with anyway?
I remember a time when the Republican Party did not like the government telling business how to run things.
Yes.
You know, it evolved into, you know, as long as you don't get hurt, because, you know, we've evolved as a society. But, you know, they were for, hey, hands off.
Hands off.
The NFL is a business.
This is hands on.
You don't have to agree with it. Mm-hmm. You can boycott it. You're free to boycott it. You don't want to go to the games? God bless you. That's fine.
Right.
But you should have a problem with the government telling a private business how to do their thing, because now they're telling the NFL. They could tell your business next.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't want them stepping in and telling you how to do things. You used to not want that. Now you do want that.
Right, because it's your team. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. You got to stop looking at your team, and you got to focus on your principles.
Yes.
What are you focused on? What do you really believe? And now, do these people believe what I believe, or are they perverting it to get something else? That's what you need to focus on. All right, Pip, where are you going to be?
Well, Johnny and the Alamonies are going to have a Halloween bash on Saturday, October 28th at 9 p.m. at the Whiskey Kitchen, which is 60 Route 303 in Valley Cottage, New York. I'm going to be there. I hope you guys will show up.
Friday, November 3rd, Side Splitting Productions presents a live comedy in Wanacue, New Jersey at Il Palazzo, starring Doug Carr. For tickets, call 973-839-9696, 973-839-9696. Saturday, November 4th, my birthday. I'll be in Springfield, New Jersey at the Knights of Columbus, celebrating with all my Christian friends. For tickets, call 908-277-3722, 908-277-3722. Hang out with me. We'll have some good time. Follow us on Twitter at Davinsden. Like the Facebook page, Davinsden. Listen to the whole show, unedited, uninterrupted, davinsden.com in the podcast section. If you like us, tell a friend. If you hate us,
tell no one.
Either way, please keep on listening.